Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/AHTT. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Podcast episode 138. Dexter Henry Brian Fonseca here with you. Brian, what's up, man?
Yo, before we get into this episode, real quick, because I want to get into like how this sort of came about, but I'm gonna let you introduce this first because this is all very random.
Yeah, and what's random for people who are watching this is we did not talk about our backgrounds. So it's funny, both of our backgrounds are very much Nas and Illmatic related. Obviously, name of the podcast is Ain't Hard to Tell. Ties in there. This is going to be a podcast where we talk about hip hop. We'll get to that in a second. But if you're not watching, Brian's background is Nas in front of the Queensbridge North houses from one of his promo shoot pictures from Illmatic. And my background is Nas, Primo, Q-Tip, and Large Professor from a studio recording session, which I would have just loved to see footage of or have been there at that time when they were recording Illmatic. So dope, man.
I need to rewatch that Illmatic documentary.
I'm going to say one thing. I got to tell you this, and it's funny. It's right underneath my computer here. A couple years ago for Christmas, my boy, shout out to my boy Mo, he got me this book for Christmas, and it's called Hip Hop Raise Me, and it's like this huge book. It's like super thick, and it's got like great photos through like hip hop history. Next time you come to my crib, man, I got to show you. It's got like, funny. I was flipping through it to think of a photo for a background, as I've done in the past, and I saw that photo, and I was like, okay, dope. Yeah, that's a dope one, man.
I sent you on Instagram, which you probably haven't seen it, but I sent you on Instagram. Nas posted Joey Badass, like the picture that Joey Badass posted of himself on Instagram, basically shouting him out, the whole Young King, congrats, bro, on dropping the light pack or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, listen to me. Because I don't know when Nas is going to decide to – maybe he'll never retire. He'll just be very infrequent when the music comes out because he doesn't need to rap constantly anymore, obviously. He's
right.
more than solidified. But Nas and Joey Badass on the same record in my lifetime has to happen, and it has to happen more than once. Okay, I'm not going to be satisfied.
Happen more than once, and you will be satisfied if it happens once. You'll be okay.
And they got a trade. They got a trade. One for Joey Badass project, one for a Nas project.
I'd love to see it.
Put Black Thought in there too, because I saw Nas tag Black Thought.
Nas and Joey Badass and Black Thought. Nas and Black Thought. You said on Nas the same. I would love that. That Black Thought has talked about wanting that to happen too.
I don't know why they're. Nas, for some reason, and we're going to talk about Nas as we get into this episode because he has some of these verses that we're going to be rattling off here, but he, there's for some reason, I don't know why, there's just a collection of people, why hasn't he made a song with this person? Yeah. Like, Nas has a bunch of those. Black Thought is one. Eminem, he kind of, they did The Cross on Godson, which Eminem produced, but Eminem, why didn't he have a verse on the remix or something like that? You know what I mean?
Nas ripped that so much. I don't know if we needed that Eminem verse.
Well, no, that's true. But
some songs I'm like, no, we're good. I'm good. Good just as it was.
But he just has a bunch of people, not him only, but there's I just wish that he collaborated with so many more people. And I still think that we'll get to see some of that. Like, I still want the Nas and Primo, even if it's an EP, but I still want a 6, 7, 10 song project.
See, now that's something where I just don't even understand how that hasn't happened, especially today. Like, there is a there is a huge demand from people of my age, particularly, who are Primo and Nas fans, who've been dying for this, waiting for this forever. And it's been talked about forever. Give it to us. We come on. It's funny. I hadn't even thought about it in so long until you brought it up now. And it kind of makes me upset that it's not out now. Because I hadn't been thinking about it. Now I'm like, damn.
that's the one producer that I would want him to be on a full album with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like most Nas fans would agree, but like that has to happen. Jay-Z did it with No ID. I'm like, Nas should give us 10 joints of Primo. If Royce da 5'9" is doing it, I would like to see Nas do it too.
And the thing is, Jay was supposed to do it with Primo because the Black Album was initially supposed to be Jay and Primo, which I would have wanted too. I'm telling you, give me a Jay. You know what? For both Nas and Jay, and they're my two favorite rappers, but if they just told me they could walk away and I could get a Jay and Primo record and a Nas and Primo record, I'm good. They don't have to do anything else after that. I'm fine.
I sneaky think that, and we'll get to the features in a second, but I sneaky think that we're going to get a Nas and Jay sort of thing at some point.
I'm fine with that.
I feel like it's one of those things, not that it has to happen, but it makes a lot of sense. I mean, obviously, long past the beef and all that stuff.
Like, yeah, we've had three songs since then. It's
more than that, I think. We've had Success. We have Black Republican,
and the joint that's not so great off of Magna Carta Holy Grail that I'm forgetting about. I'm not really in love with that song. Black Republican and Success is great. I was bumping Success the other day. Success is fire. Nas ripped that.
And Black Republican is one of my favorite. That's my favorite beat on the album, maybe other than
because the album's not that good.
Hip Hop Is Dead is so good. Nah, Hip Hop Is Dead is good. We'll talk about that another time.
That's another discussion for another day. And I'll bring. Won't forget this. I have a song on there that's gonna. I'll be like, you like that, son? You really like that?
What song?
Who Killed It?
Oh, no.
When Nas is rapping in the Scheisser voice? Nas, love you, man. But I don't know what you were doing there. I have no idea what you were doing there. None whatsoever. But, you know, it's okay. We experiment. We all do things. We can't bat 1,000. All right, but what this episode is about, to get into it, and then Brian's going to kick it off and let y'all know how this came about.
Yes.
But for what it's about is Brian and I decided to do an episode where we talk about the best hip-hop features in our minds, some of the great hip-hop features throughout time. So we're going to give you some stuff from back in the day. We're going to give you some stuff even up to currently that's going on. But Brian, tell the people how this sort of came about.
So I texted you. I think this was literally just yesterday. I texted you and I'm looking for the exact text. But I said that I was listening to just a bunch of old hip-hop this week. I went back and heard Capital Punishment. I texted you about that, about like, yo, there's 24 songs in this album. 8 of them are skits, but yet this is not like very long. It's funny. I'm watching this and I'm seeing Kimberly Martin on the TV over there. So shout out to, friend of the show. I texted you about like Capital Punishment, all this stuff. And then the next day, I think it was, oh, here it is. I said, one day I'm going to rank my best feature verses ever. And Big Daddy Kane on Platinum Plus is up there. I love that verse. I love that verse so much. I don't know like how high I would rank it necessarily, but that like, and I love Big L, but Big Daddy Kane, that is one of my favorite verses on that entire album. When he says, I'm going to put it in your chest like a Stockton pass. The first time I heard that, I was like, oh, like I was wilding out. I was a kid.
Well, let's start with this, because this is the question I had when Brian, we initially decided we were going to try to rank this stuff. And then we were like, nah, this is not going to work because it's just too hard to do. But I started thinking about this and I said, well, what makes a great hip hop feature? And so in my mind, a lot of it has to do with, sometimes it's a surprise if somebody you didn't think that was going to ride this beat in a certain way or do it in a certain way. Obviously, the lyrical performance matters. But I always look at it, when I really think of these great hip-hop features when I was writing it down, I think about it that I remember the feature so much on the song that I forget the person whose song it is, right? Like, that's kind of a really great indicator to me of how great a hip-hop feature is. What's, for you, what makes a great hip-hop feature?
I think I agree with you. But I would also say that my favorite hip-hop features that I noticed are the coming out party ones, right? So when you first hear, or like that first year that Kendrick Lamar's coming out and you hear him on like The City with The Game, before he's like really Kendrick Lamar, he had just made Section 80. I don't even think Good Kid, Mad City was out yet.
Nope, it wasn't.
It's like, I love the Who Is This Dude features, like AZ on Life's a Bitch, which we're going to get to, I'm sure.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of those that I really like. I think J. Cole has probably won on a Jay-Z song. Maybe A Star Is Born. Not that that's not to
me. No, that was kind of his coming out, though. His big coming out. Yeah.
Like, that's not an all-time great feature. It's not even an all-time great J. Cole feature, which we're probably going to get to.
Yes,
but
I got some from him.
That one, the Big L on the Yes You May remix from, like, the early 1990s. And I'm trying to think of some others, but
Nas Live at the Barbecue.
Big Pun off the books with the Beat Nuts. And then he was on Band for TV, which is where, like, Nature, we had heard Nature before, and he had did, you know, he had did the Firm album, but that was him on his own and sort of branching out, and he had a memorable verse there. So I kind of like the coming out party verse where who is it, the first time you hear somebody. I think Tupac even had one with Digital Underground. I feel like every great artist has one that you could trace it back to, and obviously Nas with, you know, Live at the Barbecue, that's probably the one that people think about the most. Well, real hip hop heads think about the most.
Yeah, I know. I think you make a great point in terms of the coming out parties, and that's what's really memorable for a lot of people in terms of features. You know, it's really sometimes the first time you hear somebody. And I feel like there's another kind of feature where sometimes now you'll see some of the vets hop on a young artist who they really like, and it's kind of the vet feature is almost like a showcase of their skills still, but also championing this new dude or girl coming along who can really spit that they really like. You know, like when Jay hopped on the Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe remix, which is a really great Jay feature, but like is an amazing Kendrick song.
Yeah, and another one, and I guess we could just start like getting into some of these verses then because we're, you know, already breaking it down. One of those examples for me that you just mentioned, Cool G Rap, The Realist, where he was the vet. He was in for a long time. Mobb Deep wasn't new. They were already a few albums in at this point. They were Mobb Deep, but at the same time, they were still like youngish in the game. You know what I mean? They weren't like Mobb Deep. We know them now as legendary. They were still very much at their peak at that point. And Cool G Rap came in. I think it was the first verse on the song, too. And I remember the first time, and this is another thing too, is you remember some of the places you were when you hear these songs. I just remember hearing it at home one day. I think I saw like maybe there was a music video or something like that for the song. I don't remember exactly, but I just remember hearing it at home. And I think that was the first time I heard of Cool G Rap. I was like 9 years old or whatever. I didn't know about like Fast Life and all the stuff with DJ Polo or Polo from like earlier back in the day. Yeah. So that. Like, as a young dude, I was like, oh, wait, who's this? And then, you know, obviously you do your research, so you get to learn about people in that way as well.
Yeah. No doubt about that. But, like, I want to start it back with what you said about the introduction of rappers. I think you made some good ones. And you mentioned the one that I think for us as Nas fans and for a lot of older hip-hop heads, you know, I have to think about this too, because Live at the Barbecue that I'm about to mention, that's not my introduction to Nas, but for other people who might be a little bit older for me, you know, that were really into hip hop, my introduction to Nas was really Ain't Hard to Tell. That was kind of my introduction to Nas, and I went back and heard Halftime and other stuff, but, you know, and just got into Illmatic. But for people who heard Live at the Barbecue, and I understand, because you have to take yourself back to what hip-hop was at that time, 92, 93, and him hopping on this Large Professor track and getting on live at the Barbecue, and you hear his verse, and you're like, yo!
And it's the first verse in the song,
Yes, yeah. And he just comes out kicking it, and you're like, who is this dude? This dude is... You can see why people at the time were so hyped for Illmatic, because this dude was rapping on some next stuff. That flowing like nobody else was. He was raw. He was aggressive. And it's like, it's a memorable hip-hop moment. And I see why, even though I didn't experience that moment the way other people did, I can see why going back and looking like that's a memorable hip-hop moment for sure.
Yeah, and I think we could circle this back to like Kendrick Lamar of now, because that's somebody who you and I were both old enough to experience in real time, where I think my introduction to Kendrick Lamar on a bigger feature, because I think the first thing I actually heard from him was probably Cartoons and Cereal, or maybe one of the Absol joints that he did. Oh, no. Actually, the first thing I heard from him was Hood Gon' Love It. That was a feature. He was on the J-Rock song. Remember, J-Rock, people forget that J-Rock was the first one from Black Hippie to really emerge, and his album took a long time to come out, this whole thing. But he was dropping songs in like 08, 09. I had heard of J-Rock. and I heard Kendrick Lamar on Hood going Love It, and he was rapping all fast, and like I can't even repeat the verse. It became the theme song for Grand Theft Auto years later, but by that time, Good Kid, Mad City had already come out. Kendrick Lamar became a star, and then we know what happened with Pimp Butterfly. But the introduction, I think it's so important because it really sets – it really, to your point, it brings people that excitement. It sets the tone for some people. And for, you know, a lot of guys, like, it'll pay off for them. And some others, not so much. I mean, we could probably get into that too because Cannabis is somebody who excited a lot of people where he had the verse on Desperados. He had the verse yep. on what's the Lost Boys joint? Beast from the East where he went crazy. He was on 4-3-2-1.
One of the great posse cuts of all time, right?
Yeah, and then it didn't really work out that way. I know Sci High the Prince, he's dropped a couple good projects, but I kind of expected more after So Appalled, which was my introduction to him. And there's something to be said for like the great features where they'll set the stage for you. You know what I mean? Like Nas, for example, he just came right out the gate. He went first on the song, so that mattered. With Kendrick Lamar in the city with the game, they dropped the beat for him. With like they took off the beat entirely. And with Sci High the Prince is So Appalled, they kind of faded it a little bit, took off the drums. He went in for four bars. Like that lets you know that the producer or whoever's behind the record is like, no, we want you to focus on this dude. Even though Jay-Z and Kanye and all these other big artists are on this song, we want you to focus on this dude. And I think that also, like, you know, the production obviously matters in anything.
It really does in terms of creating that moment. It's funny, as we're talking, more are coming to me and I'm adding it to my list because I'm like, oh, how did I forget this? Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/AHTT. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. I feel like a lot of times left out in the hip-hop conversation, we sometimes can forget about the ladies in this regard, and I was trying to think about, you know, some great features by women on this, and I one that just popped in my mind because you talked about the beat, and I was like, oh, okay, Quiet Storm remix, Little Kim, like fantastic feature, just great the aggressiveness, ladies loved it that she was right there in the rawness, which Little Kim always brought with Prodigy and Havoc, like. Her delivery is really what makes that song a lot about it to the remix. It's almost like if somebody plays the original, which is dope, but you don't get the Kim verse, it's kind of disappointing, right?
I don't play the original. I want the Lil' Kim verse, and I want the Lil' Kim hook. You know what I'm saying?
And like, it's like, that's also the mark to me of a great feature too, especially when it's on a remix, and that person's verse really makes the song. On an already really great song, an iconic hip-hop beat, really makes it, and Kim did that on that track. That's definitely up there for me, man. Like, that's one of the best ladies guest features I could think about right now off the top of my head that's coming to me. Like, it's definitely up there.
I wrote down this is technically a feature, and I know some people, like, you know, aren't as crazy about the verse maybe now as they once were, but Foxy Brown, Affirmative Action.
Oh, no. That's where I was about to mention next. That has to be mentioned in the same breath as that. No, one, Fox killed that. There's no denying that. In fact, there's a very, 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 very strong argument that she had the best verse in the song. I think she did. She did, right? You say she did?
She did. She had the most bars, I mean, which tilts it in her favor, but no, she went crazy in that song.
And see, this is another one.
And here's the thing. Yeah. I can't say, and I love, obviously, you know, I really like that song, Still Play It, Love Nas or whatever. Other than the first part of AZ's verse, I only really remember Foxy Brown's verse.
Yeah, and that's another thing about a great feature. And the thing about, you know, that I would say, and it's one of these things, was like, you had to be there. You had to be there at the time. I remember when Affirmative Action dropped, and I remember people were crazy about that Foxy Brown verse. They was like, yo, this is ill. She was spitting. She killed it. Pulling up in the Nautica van. I wanted a Nautica van. I didn't even know what the Nautica van looked like because of Foxy Brown. I wanted the Nautica van. I still want to know who had a Nautica van.
I don't
think anybody did.
We have to Google that. And funny because I don't even think, like, I think that was a lot of people's introduction to Foxy Brown.
It was for a lot of people.
She had a verse the year before on the I Shot Ya remix with LL Cool J and another, Keith Murray and Fat Murray, Joe.
One of the great posse cuts of all time, too.
Prodigy, I want to say.
But she also was on, so that was 95, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, with the I Shot Ya remix.
Affirmative Action was 96, yeah.
But remember, she also is on Ain't No on Jay's album. She's on that. Yeah. She's on that, too. So this was kind of her. Those were kind of two. And again, a lot of people remember her on that song. For ripping it, even though there's all these rumors about Jay, you know, writing that and all this other stuff. But, like, Fox really makes that song. And that's a song I'm not that crazy about on Reasonable Doubt. It hasn't really aged that well for me. But it's not.
I can see why.
Yeah. But, like, but Fox kills it. And to have a woman at that time, and the impact matters, too, at that time to, you know, just talking the talk she was talking, the mafioso type. You know, from a female's perspective, her and Kim did that very well. You know, that was very impactful at the time, man. Like, you remember people for those verses. I'll tell you one that came up to me. We talked about introductions, because I feel like we have a good theme of going into things here. Introduction, I remember the first time I heard Lupe Fiasco, and that was Touch the Sky, Kanye.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I remember hearing the wordplay and being like, who is this guy? And that got me into going down the rabbit hole and the Food and Liquor leak that came out, which actually ended up being better than the original Food and Liquor. That's a whole nother story, but because of some songs that he left off. But, yo, I was like, this Lupe dude is nasty. And then he further showed me who he was. So that's another example of somebody just getting on my radar because of a feature. I feel like lately the artists I've gotten into in hip-hop have gotten on my radar because I've actively went out and looked for stuff. Sometimes I heard him on a feature. Or sometimes I just heard this one song. So, you know, but like, I still do think features are a great way of getting people on to new artists that you might not have heard before.
Yeah, I don't think that. I don't get that as much now, I feel like, as I used to. Like, yeah. I even remember being younger, not young enough when the song actually came out, but when I first heard Hit 'Em Up for the first time, and Tupac had like a bunch of people in that song too. I was like, yo, who's this dude? Like, all from the Outlaws or whatever. I think Hussein Fatal was one of them, who had like a really good verse. And, you know,
I really care for the other verses in that song.
That there was one other one that I really liked. I think it was by Hussein Fatal. But there was like a posse, there was a thing where there were like posse cuts, and they would kind of introduce to you like more than one person. Like 4-3-2-1, which we talked about earlier, not only introduced Cannabis, but a lot of people didn't know that much about DMX before that came out.
And this is DMX's verse on that is on my list, is one of the great features. It is on this long list. DMX's verse on that is very memorable. It is the kind of coming out for DMX, right? Because this is before Get At Me Dog. This was the verse that kind of put him on that, like, yo, who is this dude? That you talk about an introduction. That really was a lot of people's introduction, because I remember that at that time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
His first album came out the year after.
Yeah.
Because that came out in 97. And, you know, there's something to be said for, there's other kinds of features too, where it's like, maybe you haven't heard from this person on this level, kind of like Rhapsody and Complexion on To Pimp a Butterfly.
That's on my, that is on my list as well.
Yeah, where it's like, this person's been, like, we know she's nice. The real hip hop heads know she's nice.
Yep.
But now she's at this level where, like, Kendrick Lamar is putting her on an album that goes number one. There's something to be said for that as well. Or the artist, oh, I don't want to spoil this one because I know this is one of your favorites, so I don't want to like just poop on it right away.
Nah.
But you know, the artist that gets on somebody else's song on a collaboration you wouldn't expect, and they tear it up as well. There's one that I'm thinking about right now, and I kind of want you to mention it because I don't want to spoil it because it's recent.
It was recent?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going someplace else.
Two
on
dope
that.
Artists finally get together. The featured artist goes crazy. This is one of your favorite songs. I'm telling you.
Oh, the Tyler the Creator and Freddie Gibbs joint?
No, not that one.
Oh, because I'll add that. Tyler the Creator has one of the best features I've heard this year on something to rap about with Freddie Gibbs. And I'm not a big Tyler the Creator fan. I don't dislike him. I'm just not really into his stuff like that.
That kind of falls into the category, too, because it's like, oh, I haven't heard from this person in a while. And
yeah.
It's like, oh, that's right. And then there's also the artist, which is more of what I'm talking about now. I'm trying to lead you to where they're just going on a string. They're going on a string of features. Like, they just have one of those years where, let me hop on this person's song, I'll kill it here. Hop on this person's
this
song.
This year?
With No, was it? It might have been last year.
Somebody was killing with features. No,
Yeah.
J. Cole.
It was J. Cole. I'm talking about Bob Lobo specifically. But yes.
Yo, you know what's funny? You know what? I'm mad at myself. Because I put a couple other J. Cole features on here, and I can argue, and I feel very strong. I'm glad you brought this up. So happy you brought this up. I do think you could argue that might be J. Cole's best verse and best feature. It could be either or. You might like other album verses and stuff, but just the way he told the story on that verse, man. Like, I got to play this when we get off this. I got to play it when we get off this podcast. Because I love that verse. It's just the way Cole snapped on that and flowed. Like, man, he just killed it. It was just like super sharp Cole. There's some other features I have from that I'll mention, but I do agree with you on that. Sometimes people go on the streak where they're just running through features and killing it. And Cole had kind of really been on that run in the last year where he had some really good ones. He had the one on Boss's Tribe. He had that. He had the one on the Gangstar record, which is another.
Jay-Z record, too, Jay-Z with Kendrick.
Right, with Kendrick. Yeah, all those verses are great. I actually even have a whole playlist of stuff with that Cole's just features on that. Where he just absolutely killed it. But I was thinking about, you know, the impact. You just going back to that for a second. You know, I'm glad you brought up 4-3-2-1 because I had it on there. And I think what I think about, and that's DMX had the last verse on that song, if I'm not correct, right? No, LL finishes the song.
LL, yeah.
Which is funny because LL, all the verses on the song are really good. LL, I think people really remember Cannabis and DMX though, right? Like LL's is really good, and you know, he has the, you know, the line, watch your mouth, don't ever step out of line, LL Cool J, greatest of all time.
I low-key actually like that verse better than Cannabis' verse in that song.
That's fine, and I like the...
But he wrote it as a response, so he cheated.
Well, yeah, right, which I think that what kind of always so devalues that verse, and for the young listeners not understanding, LL and Cannabis were beefing, and they were beefing while making the song, so LL's verse...
And Second Round Knockout was a better record than whatever LL Cool J had after. He was just more popular. But Second Round Knockout objective was way better record. Second Round Knockout still to this day is one of the top 5 to 10 diss records ever. A lot of people would have it in their top 5 to 10. Ooh, that's another podcast we could do.
That's another podcast. Records. That is most just,
I'm going to have Eve higher up than you are.
No. It won't be. I wouldn't have it as low as you might think. But most diss records people make aren't really that good. There's not that many great diss records. I don't think there's a lot of great diss records. There's some good ones and there's a lot of horrible ones.
I'll put it to you this way: there are a couple of Hobson ones that are going to be up there, but a lot of people like Hobson's. He's in his own sort of category.
Category in terms of that battling. But no, what I was going to say about X was his delivery. This is what really showcased DMX's unique delivery, right? You can say what you want about DMX and dog stuff, and it's kind of gimmicky, and some of that is true. But the delivery on this, stay out the dark, because if I catch you when the sun is down, run it, clown, come up off that, or I'm going to gun it down. I was like, yo, okay, like,
and I
I have a thing
for like the sing-songy stuff that some dudes do, like DMX. He did it toward the end of his verse there, like right at the end before the hook came up. So like that, baby.
You see a pink ski mask for it, baby. I mean, you just when somebody does that at that time, you got to think about the timing too. That was nobody was doing that really in hip hop. You know, bringing in that sing song. There's only a few dudes like X that could really do that. Sometimes maybe a Busta Rhymes. It was those dudes that kind of dared to go left or different. You got a Busta Rhymes feature?
Yeah, Scenario.
Oh, that's on my list. That's on my list.
We're talking about introductions. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Scenario. I also wanted to mention Nothing But a G Thang because Snoop Dogg was obviously, that was the first time. That one surprisingly, like I look it up, like if you look up best hip hop features, that's usually one of the top like 3 to 5 or whatever.
It's iconic.
I wouldn't put it that high, just as a feature alone. As a song, it's tremendous, but as a feature
I can
feature
understand
alone,
what you're saying.
It
doesn't hit you. I think it hits you as a great song that has a great vibe. But it did introduce the major West Coast artists, so I understand why people feel that way.
No, I get it.
Like I get that way. What the way
I wasn't
about
born
it.
Yet when the song came out.
The The Sports Walk is back. Watch Season 3 of Backpack Broadcasting's original web series that brings you the opinions of real sports fans. The first two seasons and current season are available now for viewing on the Sports Walk YouTube channel and Facebook page. Check out the 2017 NYC WebFest official selection and see what other sports fans have to say on the hottest issues in sports today. It's easy. Just take the Sports Walk.
We talked about some older artists, and we haven't really touched as much on some of our favorite artists, you know, like Jay or Nas. But here's what I want to mention, and I felt like I missed this. I don't think I listened to this song until about 3-4 years ago, and I think Brian put me onto this because I did not listen to it. And this is off of Rick Ross's "God Forgives," but I don't, and I did not listen to that project. Oh, I listened to only one song, I think, which was like "Three Kings" from that project, and.
Good Jay feature.
Not a great one, but a good one. And the Andre 3000 song, 16, where it's a Rick Ross song with an Andre 3000 feature. Man.
But he takes over the record. Like, there's times where that song comes on, I just skip Rick Ross.
That's what I do. That's what I do every time. Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what Rick Ross said. Like, sorry, Rick Ross. It didn't matter what you said in that song. Because Andre 3000 was so... the great that he is, the legend that he is, the great lyrical genius that he is, that for me is up. I don't even rank it, but it's definitely my top 10 because it's he just killed it. Like,
it's in my top 10.
If you haven't heard that song, Three Stacks, man, just showed you why he's one of the best. Just insane.
And to that point, too, I want to, like, if we can sort of shift this a little bit into the dude who kind of reminds you who he is in the feature.
That's a good category.
The dude or the woman who reminds you, like, no, dog, this is how nice I am. Like, I've been in the game for a while, and a couple of them that come to mind, that was one of them. Nas on Swizz Beatz's album last year on Echo. That's one of them. Ooh. Nas on Nas' album Done with DJ Khaled, that's one of them as well. There are a bunch that I can think of, but right now, like, those come to mind. I want to say that Kendrick Lamar has one. Maybe it's the That Part remix.
That's on my list. That is easily. Because you know what? You know, see, well, a great feature to me.
I remember now. I remember which one it is. It wasn't that one. It's another one.
That to me is in my top 10, That Part remix for Kendrick. Because the internal rhyme scheme on that song is so, it's such next level writing and rhyming that I remember when I can tell you, my face was just like, ooh, damn. The flow, the double time flows, the internal rhyme scheme, the writing, the connecting of it all together, he just ripped it. Like, I don't even listen to the original Schoolboy Q song. I go right for the Kendrick part. It sadly overshadows a really strong J-Rock verse on that song. However, it's just Kendrick's was just out of this world. Like, he took it to another world. That I would put as one of the recent great modern features in hip-hop, I would absolutely say.
He has one, and this is the one I was referring to originally, that's at least close to that, if not on that level.
Well, hold on. Let me look at. I'm looking at my Kendrick ones I have on here. Okay, I have three.
I don't know if you'll have this one.
Let me hear.
I don't know if you'll have this
one. Go ahead.
Holy Key on the DJ.
You know what? I didn't, and that is a good one. I did not have that. That's a good one. Do you think it's better than his verse on Absol's "Illuminate"?
No.
Yeah, no, Illuminate's on there for me. That's a great verse.
That's a great one. Woo-hoo. I'm glad you mentioned it. That one I was riding around to it the other day because it's on the GTA soundtrack. I totally forgot about
that. Riding around in a video game. That's what you talked about. I was like, yo, you got a whip? No, I was riding around in GTA. Yeah.
Illuminate.
That encapsulates you so much that you can say that.
It's true. But also, Illuminate is actually probably my favorite song on that Absol album, an album that I really, really like. Control System. I think that might be my favorite one. Is the Black Lip Bastard remix on that?
It ends the album. That is correct.
Okay, so that might – it's between one of those two. And what I appreciate too, and we're going to get into another great feature. There's some sort of under-the-radar ones as well. Like the J-Rock one on Black Lip Bastard is a little bit of I am showing you or reminding you who I am because I was the first one out of this group to really
don't
make
forget
it.
Don't forget about me feature.
Slash that. It's yeah. Also like, yo, dog, like I'm here too. You know what I mean? Like kind of like what Sci-Hi did. On I'm forgetting the record. It wasn't So Appalled, but he had another one after that. But J-Rock was trying to remind you, like, nah, dog. Like, I have the last verse here. He goes 32 bars, and it's a great J-Rock in those Black Hippie songs. He takes it seriously.
Yeah, he always brings his best on that for sure. Like he absolutely does. You reminded me of one. You brought this up to me the other day when we were texting, and it's crossed my mind now about somebody showing who they still are. And I think understanding the time of this and this record dropping and what I'm about to say in this feature is important. This goes to Nas. And this is in 2001. And this is before Stillmatic drops. And Nas hopped on Jadakiss's first album and rapped on Show Discipline. And I remember this moment. I remember listening to that. I was with my man Justin. We was listening to this album. And I was like, yo, Nas might be back. He might be coming with some heat. Because we have to remember, Nas kind of had, this is a post-Nostradamus. And everybody who knows me as a Nas fan, you know how I feel about Nostradamus. This was post that, and he ripped that middle verse on Show Discipline. Man, you like, Nas sounded Illmatic hungry again. And that was a feature where he was letting us know he was coming back. And obviously he came back with Stillmatic, and the rest is history.
I think... I'm a little bit hard on this person, so I gotta tip my hat here, at least because, you know, people may think that I don't like him or whatever because I think his discography is a little bit overrated.
Here we go. I know where this is going.
But Eminem has a bunch of these on this list. Eminem has a bunch of these on this list where, like, he has a lot of, I'm reminding you who I am, especially in a not... You know, in fairly recent times, like with Caterpillar, for example, with Royce the 5'9".
That's one of his best. I agree with that. Renegade
from a while back. Lucky You with Joyner Lucas not that long ago.
Yep.
I think that was a Joyner Lucas record, at least. Either way, great song. And then this is probably the main one where I was like, oh, he's reminded me who I was, because I remember the first time I heard this song. So I was in my freshman year of high school, or it was that summer after my freshman year of high school, because the song came out in 2009. I don't know if he had just dropped Relapse or he was about to drop Relapse or whatever the case may be. We know Relapse, not a great album, right?
At all.
And before that, Encore had come out, and it's been a while since we really heard from Eminem, like really heard from him. And then Forever comes out. And it's Drake, and it's Wayne, and it's Kanye. And then it's kind of like what I said before, where the production, it'll indicate who we want to kill this verse. And this was back before he signed Slaughterhouse. Joe Budden, Joel Ortiz, Crooked Eye, and Royce the 5'9" were all behind him in the video. And I remember watching this, and I was like, oh, wow. He's doing this again. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then unfortunately after that, like, you know,
things didn't continue the way you thought it would.
He'll still have these verses where, like, you'll remember, like, yeah, this dude could just about out rap anybody who's ever picked up a microphone when he wants to. But, you know, and his last album, like, I'll give him props, the last album wasn't too bad, like, compared to the other stuff that he had been putting out. But the Forever verse in particular, it might be my favorite Eminem feature because of how it hit me differently than all his other ones, right? And that came out at a time where it wasn't as dramatic as, like, because Nas was sort of down and out, and then he came back with Show Discipline, Ether, and then obviously Stillmatic, which is one of his best albums. But the Eminem thing, when Forever came out, to do that, particularly on that song too, with Drake, Kanye, and Lil Wayne. And I don't remember any of those verses. I only remember
Eminem's verse.
If that song comes on, I just go straight to Eminem's verse. Seriously.
Understood. Now there's one we haven't brought up yet that, and we're gonna start wrapping things up. But we got to talk about, because I think I would argue this is the best feature to start a song in hip hop history, and that would be AZ on Life's a Bitch. I mean,
I think that's probably the number one feature ever.
It could be. I think it's fantastic. I think it's just the way AZ comes on that track and attacks it. He actually outraps Nas on that song. The way he actually attacks it in his verse, and man, just the lyricism, the sharpness of it is just absolutely beautiful and poetic, which is, you know, what you want to see in the display of lyricism. And man, he really took control of that song, and it's just an amazing job.
And you have to remember, like, not you, but, you know, people have to remember, in 1994, dudes just weren't doing that. Nah. Nobody was visualizing the realism of life and actuality at that time. Nobody was doing that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Like, yeah, just hearing that, he sets that whole tone for the song. And it's crazy because Nas has a great verse on that, right? And it's like, but again, that's why I say it's a very impactful feature. You almost forget it. Nas's verse is great, and it's super lyrical and well-written and rides the beat well, too. But the way AZ just comes on, man. To bring up some underrated people we think that people might not think about, we talked about people who could rap with anybody. Black Thought. You brought up Capital Punishment, Black Thought on Super Lyrical. Fantastic feature on there. Black Thought on a Pharrell Monch joint that I love called Rapid Eye Movement. If you have not heard that verse, go and listen to that.
On my list too.
Yeah. Black Thought kills that.
On Extradite with Freddie Gibbs.
Yes. Yeah, that's another good one.
And look, I love Freddie Gibbs, you know that, but Black Thor got him on both verses.
He got him on that. Another DMX joint that I think is a memorable DMX joint, and I think DMX really kills this song. He owns this song at the end. 24 Hours to Live with Mace, Black Rob, and Lox. DMX just kills it. The aggressiveness of telling the story of what he do in 24 Hours. He kills it.
Ooh, I thought of, and it's just funny because that made me think of a couple other Nas ones when you mentioned that. DMX wasn't, he might have been on this album, wasn't on the song. Journey Through the Life, Nas was on it with Beanie Sigel, Diddy, and I'm trying to remember who else. He has a really good verse, I think, toward the end of that song. There's a couple other obvious Nas ones. Verbal Intercourse.
That's another one where it's just
that might
about,
be his best one, and that's like crazy.
It's about how somebody attacked the beat and starts the song. Yeah. They like Mobb Deep knew when they was putting that out, they was like, look, you gonna start this, we come in, we let the chef finish it off.
That's Wu-Tang.
Oh, Wu-Tang, my fault, sorry.
Because the Nas one, that's the other one I was gonna mention next. The Mobb Deep one,
which is Life for an Eye. Sorry, I was flipping both of those songs. Yeah, Eye for an Eye. Yeah, that's another great one.
The same year, so it's easy to confuse. Yeah. But because you know what it is, it's also both the If I made a top 10, they both might be there because both those verses are like neck and neck.
Nah, they're right there, man. They're right there. I haven't mentioned a lot of you talked Rhapsody Complexion. Oh, one I want to mention for one of my favorite Southern rappers, one of the best people to do it, Scarface on This Can't Be Life. I do love that song. It's one of the Jay-Z Dynasty album. Scarface kills that. Absolutely loved it. I wish Jay-Z and Scarface did even more songs. Anytime him, Jay, and Beans put a song together, it was fire. So I always loved that. For the ladies, I had Lil' Kim Questlove remix. I had Trina on Nan. Yo.
Really?
Yeah, bro.
I haven't heard it in a while, actually.
There's nothing, again, a great feature doesn't always also have to be super lyrical. Sometimes it's the impact. And Trina's verse on Nan and how she's delivering it and doing the hook. Yo, just fantastic, man. Like, the energy. It's just, she was just bringing it for the ladies with the energy on that song. You had Trick Daddy, and don't get me wrong, I'm not bumping a lot of Trick Daddy, but you can bump some Nan for me anytime. And I was like, yo, I like that Florida, Miami, ghetto Trina. I loved it.
I want to say Rhapsody has more. She actually has a really good feature. I'm blanking on the name of the song, but it's a Sky Zoo record. And Rhapsody has a really good feature on that song. This came out a few years ago. I don't remember the name. I don't remember which album, but I heard it not that long ago, and it was really good. Jean Grey, Say Something on Talib Kweli, Eardrum
Album. That's a really good one, Jean Grey.
That was my introduction to Jean Grey, and she's nice. Talib Kweli, Talib Kweli, if you knew me growing up, that was one of my favorite artists. Still artists that I really like now, but obviously he's in a different space, not like actively rapping the way I used to, but I was buying physical, like I had Eardrum and I had quality hardcover. I had the second Reflection Eternal album with High Tech, which is not good. Damn good. Also,
what? I did not care for that album.
It was damn good. Album. So J Cole got a really good feature on
That one. That's on my J Cole features. Just Begun. That is one of my favorite. That is one of my favorite.
You gotta give that album a shot again.
I'll have to listen to the album. I've listened to the album again. Oh, I didn't talk about. Let me get a couple J ones in here because I did not mention a lot of J. Obviously, being my favorite rapper. I had Young G's off Puff Daddy and the Family album. J on Go Crazy with Jeezy. I also had J on the Hell Yeah remix with Dead Prez. That's another like kind of under the radar joint. If you're a real Jay fan, you know about that one. Jay-Z on Beanie Siegel is on. That's just a great back and forth ones. Jay has some really strong ones. One I didn't mention is Jadakiss on Run. Fantastic feature. Just great, iconic. Like Jada played it in the battle against Fab a couple weeks ago, and I'm so happy he played it.
I have another Jay-Z one, actually, that you didn't mention.
Let me hear this one.
Diamonds remix with Kanye.
Yeah, that was good. You know what my feeling on that was? I'm always happy to get a Jay verse, but I also like the song on its own, and I love that sample that Kanye did. It was one of those things. It was nice, and that's when Jay was in his retirement. But I didn't feel like we really needed it, so it was kind of we'll get into retirement comp. Save that. We'll get into that for another time.
I pretty much mentioned everything on my list.
I had Kendrick Control. That's got to be on there.
Okay, that was the Kendrick verse I was talking about.
Okay.
That was the Kendrick verse I was talking about. Very beginning where I was like, we'll get to that one later. That is the verse. I heard it before this, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Because there's something to be said about impact. And I'm going to get back to Inspector Dex verse on Above the Clouds after this.
That's a good one.
We're going to get back to that one. Yeah. But Kendrick Lamar on Control. There's something to be said. Like Nas on Live at the Barbecue might be the most impactful feature ever because of what that did after the fact. Right?
Impactful debut feature, I would say. Yeah.
How that sort of launched his career, right? Kendrick Lamar, he was becoming Kendrick at this time, but like dudes weren't really going at dudes on the same song, even out of respect. Like with LL, even with LL and Cannabis, it was subtle. Like, you kind of knew because he responded to him. But Kendrick said their names. He said their names, and he said, I'm trying to murder you. And he mentioned everybody's name. And you got to remember at this point, and I miss this era of hip-hop so much where people would just put out freestyles on other people's beats. And I understand it's not really efficient because you're not making money like that. You're putting bars on it, whatever. But I just wish we can – like, Joyner Lucas still does that a little bit. And I wish that dudes would do that because that was so much fun. Because I remember what that did. Kendrick Lamar did that verse. Big Crit got so pissed that he made his best song ever, Mount Olympus, because he was mad because they didn't think Southern Boys could rap too, whatever. And Joe Budden made a whole, like, I don't remember how many bars. It was like 100 bars. A lot of people were taking the Control beat, making their responses, and everybody was being competitive, and it really shook shit up.
Yeah, I like it.
And I really think that was something that helped get Kendrick to the next level because people saw like, oh, we have to aspire to be this. And the verse itself was also really like, it's another one where like, I forgot it was a Big Sean song because when I Googled it, I Googled Kendrick Lamar Control. I was like, wait, Big Sean and Big Crit are on this and Jay Electronica, I think. And I love Big Crit. And Jay Electronica, I liked them at that time at least. So I was surprised to learn that or to relearn that they were on that song.
Yeah, on my Kendrick playlist, I have that, and it's just Kendrick's verse. Because no offense to anybody else, didn't matter.
Didn't matter.
To wrap it up.
And Inspect the Deck above the clouds,
which is one of my.
It's another one under the radar, whatever the case may be. And I'm going to mention just a couple more. Another under the radar one. Ari the Rugged Man has a couple. The Renaissance verse, you gotta hear it. It's Hell Raza, who I think goes by Heaven Raza now. It's his song, or Raza. Tragedy Gaddafi is on it. Timbo King is on it. Respect to them. Once Ari the Rugged Man comes on, didn't matter. Like, he This dude flipped the whole Big Pun thing on Wu-Tang, Killer B, whatever, whatever. And then he did the Little Italy thing, and it was crazy. And this is one of my top, like, I'm talking about top 3 to 5 features ever, is his verse on Uncommon Valor with Vinny Paz. Call me Thorburn, John A. Staff, Sergeant Marksman, Skillin' Killer Illin', I'm able to win a killer village, elephant raping and pillage a village. That whole thing is crazy. Like, he gets into the whole verse. Mm. And it's one of the best things I ever heard. And it's based on a true story because I think it was his dad that fought in Vietnam or whatever. So it was like raw. And it overshadows a very good Vinny Paz verse on the first verse. And oh no, Pharoah Monch.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I heard that the other day and I was like, yo, I forgot up there. How ill that was.
That's up there.
And Biggie, Victory.
Victory. I mean, you know, we didn't mention the big one, but Victory, yeah. I mean, just like.
He's got a few.
I mean.
Method Man is one on his album.
Yeah, and that's just, yeah, that's Biggie just killed it. That was insane, man. That was one of the verses I was like, I have to know that verse. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was exactly. Like, yo, I have to know this verse. All right, can you pick one? If you got to pick one to take with you, a great feature, what are you taking with you? That's like, man, I could just listen to this verse all the time.
Life's a bitch. If I have to pick, like, if I'm just... Huh. One above everybody else. It's like it's AZ's Life's a Bitch verse. Because that verse to this day, like, that made me want to write. You know what I mean? Like it just made me like get a pen and paper and just start writing stuff. Like that verse, like,
yeah.
Completely just did things.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough for me to argue against that. But I wanna pick something different, but it's gonna be really tough for me to argue against that, because it does have that, you know, make you want to go and write kind of situation. You know, if I since you picked something from the past, I will pick something modern, and we kind of hit on it before. If I have to go with something recent, yo, and it's a verse I probably played so much.
I know where you're going.
Years ago, Bible Vault, man.
Yeah,
I played that song. It's so good. I think it's a great modern verse. I think Cole, writing in the last couple of years, has really been in his, like, I hate using the word prime around artists, but like prime in terms of just rapping and just like it, certain things that people do, kind of like the AZ verse, kind of talk about Kendrick on like a that part. It's a rap masterclass. And yeah. Sometimes you get some displays of that. And I think that was one of them too. So, nah, man, definitely a dope one and a good one. But yeah. Great features, man. Great features. Features are a great part of hip-hop. I kind of wish we could see some more. I don't remember the last time I heard a feature, which really was like, yo, I got to go check this person out. The last, I'm going to give credit to one album that heavily features somebody, and it really changed me getting into this artist. It's the last kind of artist to do it for another artist was Dr. Dre on his Compton album, because Anderson .Paak was featured so heavily on that album. And he's kind of hip-hop adjacent, but I was like, yo, who is this dude? And that made me go check his music, because I was like, who's this dude on the hooks? I like how he writes and how he really was on Animals. And so I was like, yo, who's this guy? And that really got me in. But a lot of times, it hasn't really been like that as much lately. Another one, you know, I'll give a honorable mention to this feature. This is off of Static Selector's, I believe, Lucky 7 album, or was the one before? No, What Goes Around album. It's What Goes Around album. And it was the first time I heard Logic. That got me into Logic. Logic is on this song with Ab Soul and John Connor and him. Logic closes the verse, and Logic ripped it. And that made me go listen to Logic. So there's sometimes it happens, man. And I wish we had more of that sometimes. More put.
Yeah. It's funny because I'm trying to think of some modern ones. Freddie Gibbs had a really good one, although I don't really follow the artist that he was on the song of, but he has a really good verse on this song called Toast to That by an artist named Cousin Stiz, where like I just skip his verse and just go to Freddie Gibbs' verse entirely. The beat is very slow. Freddie Gibbs double times, damn near triple times during the verse. And it's short, and it's just a really good verse. Like, that's one of the ones that I would say that I'm playing that came out recently, at least. And there's three big ones that I missed actually. 50 Cent, Hate It or Love It.
That's also a great verse to kick off the song. That's up there.
Yeah. It's really there. Like those first four bars are four of his best first four bars to start a verse that he's done in his career. And like people can say what they want, 50 Cent has actually a lot of really good verses. But that's another podcast for another day. Ghostface Killah has two on my list: Criminology and Guillotine Swords.
Oh, how did I forget Criminology? That's a great verse. Yeah.
And Big Pun, who I've been listening to a lot of this week. Oh, Kendrick Lamar, Fragile. Ooh, forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Fragile, Tech N9ne song. Big Pun, John Blaze, and Big Pun, Off the Books. I mentioned Off the Books, but John Blaze. After Nas verse, a Nas verse that was really good. I love that song.
I love the Jadakiss verse on that, actually. So that's crazy. I love Jada's verse on that.
John Blaze or Banned for TV? Which posse cut do you prefer?
Banned for TV.
A lot of people say Banned for TV.
The beat on Banned for TV is just too iconic. In fact, I was talking with one of my homegirls the other day.
Maybe it's because Nas and Pun are on the same song. I'm like, I love John Blaze. Just speaks
to you. Yeah, but you know, I was talking to my homegirl the other day, and we were talking about production. We were talking about Swiss Beats production. She had no idea Swiss produced Banned for TV. She had, like, no idea. And she was like, what? And I was like, yeah, that's Swiss on there.
Swiss Beats.
All right, that's a wrap. Brian went with Life's a Bitch. I came with something a little more modern. I won't say it's the best hip-hop feature of all time, but it's definitely one of my favorites, and J. Cole with Bob LaBoat. So that's it. All right, I hope you enjoyed this features talk. Still don't know what the title of this episode. It'll be something playing off the features. Come up with something. Could have went with Back to the Future, but we've been doing Back to the Future, so I didn't really want to do that. Plus, that was a Wale mixtape. But whatever, that's a whole nother thing. Thank you for listening to this episode 138 of the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. Please be sure to subscribe to us and whatever platforms you listen to. Please leave a review and rate us. That also helps us a lot. So just leave us a nice review because, you know, you love this podcast. We know that you do. We know that
support
you do.
Support independent media.
Support independent media. That's another podcast. All right. That's it for episode 138 of the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. Like, I don't know the song. For Brian Fonseca, I'm Dexter Henry. Until next time, y'all. Peace.